Okay, good evening. So what we are going to discuss tonight is what we call a chabura. It's about trees and flowers and show on Shavuos. Is it a pagan practice or not? That is the basic question. If you'll go to many shoals, you'll notice, walk down the street to Breyers, and you'll notice that it's beautiful on Shavuos, no? They have, it's like a chuppah, right? Made out of trees, and it looks really, really nice. And in most shuls in this world, right, you have flowers and shrubs and trees and nice verdant growth on Shavuos in the shul. And the question is how this minhag developed. It's a minhag that's found only among Ashkenazim. How this minhag developed, what the source of the minhag is. And what we will see also is that there was a lot of opposition to this minhag, and what we'll try to do is explain in lumdisha terms what this machlekes is about. That's the basic goal. So let's get to work, okay? By the way, most of what I am saying, a lot of what I'm saying comes from, there's an excellent journal called Or Yisrael, comes out of Muncie, and the Or Yisrael journal, volume 20, had an article by Reb Gedalia Oberlander, who's actually the editor of that journal. He also wrote a Sefer Pidyon HaBen Kelchasa. Very nice article going through this. Now, even though this is supposed to be a Gemara Chabura, in fact, as we'll go on, we'll see this actually has something to do with Gemara. It's not only Rishonim, Minhag stuff, etc. Okay, so let's learn. The earliest source of the Minhag is the first source we have on our page. It is the Sefer of the Maharil. The Maharil is the father of Ashkenazi Minhagim, no? That's who he is. Many of the practices that are done originate from the Maharil. The Maharil is also a Baal Tefillah. He instituted many of the tunes, right, that are sung on Yom HaNarayim are from the Maharil. So the Maharil is the earliest source of this Minhag. Zok the Maharil, what's the reason for the Minhag? First of all, what is the Minhag according to Maharil? Is it exactly what we do today or not? So look at the first source. What do you see? You have spices, but where do they put the spices? Lahashtiach ritzpas beis hakneses. All over the floor. You put spices, nice smelling stuff on the floor. And why do they do it? Simchas haregel. What does simchas haregel mean?
So it should apply to every regel.
So it should apply to every regel, right? That's the kasha. In other words, if the original reason, the earliest source is the Maharil. Maharil says, al simchas yontiv, you put the stuff on the floor. Right? By the way, putting it on the floor probably is because if it's fragrant, it will, the smell will spread more. As people walk on it, it will come out more. So the Maharil is saying that the minhag is that we put it on the floor, l'simchas haregel. So Tzvi is asking that l'cha'ora, then it should be true of every yontiv. So the suggestion that is given is as follows. Ready, Chevra? Shavuos has more of a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif than any other Yontif. Psachim, Samaches, Hako, there's a machloikis, Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Yoshua, about whether Chalkehu, Chetziol Hashem, Chetziol Hashem.
It doesn't answer the question, though.
It sort of does. In other words, what we're saying is that it's out Simchas Yontif, but every Yontif doesn't have as much chiyuv of Simcha as Shavuos does. To distinguish was to show that Shavuos has more of a mitzvah of simcha than any other yontif. Meaning, right, every other yontif is a machloikis. Do I divide the yontif up, chetzi Hashem, chetzi lachem, or do I say, okul Hashem, okul lachem, that's two shiz and tanoim. Hakol modem ba'atzeres. Everyone holds that on Shavuos, you need physical pleasure. Why? Yom shenit na b'torah le'Yisrael. Again, that itself is good for a drasha. Right? Just because we got the Torah, that means we should have physical pleasure. For anything, I would think it's fakert. And because we got the Torah, that's why we shouldn't have physical pleasure. But okay, that's what the Gemara says. Well, I can't do much about that Gemara. But the fact is, Shavuos has more of a mitzvah of Simchas Yontav than other Yomim Tovim. I remember I used to eat at Rav Shachter's house when on Shavuos. most years, and I was single, and Rav Shecht used to stay in the Heights for Yontif before YU started having this whole program. So every year Rav Shecht would like say something to his wife during the meal. He'd say, you know, this meal is really good. It's better than any other Yontif, and that's the halacha. Shavuos, you have to have better meals. Because be'inu nami lochem. And there's a certain truth to it, that there's more of a mitzvah simchas yontif on Shavuos than there is on any other yontif. That's the yesod of the Maharal. Now, we could argue in this sefer, in this Ar Yisrael journal, so he points out that there is more to this. There's a machlekes harishonim about the following case. You know, there's a din that on Shabbos, if I have a bad dream, so what do? You fast, no? You fast on Shabbos, you have a bad dream, because that itself is my enjoyment. Right? I had such a bad dream. Now I'm aguma liv, I'm all sad, I'm all depressed, so I fast on Shabbos. Then there's a special halacha of tzorech mes of tainis l'tainisa, no? You have to fast again to make up for what you fasted. What about on Yontif? If I have a bad dream on Yontif, am I allowed to fast? So it's a machlokes harishonim. But it could be that Yontif is different than Shabbos. Yontif has a mitzvah simcha. Simcha means I have to eat, so therefore I can't fast at all. It's also to fast on Yontif entirely. But there are some rishonim who assume that you are allowed to fast on Yontif if you have a bad dream. Machlokes harishonim. But on Shabbos is mitzvah to have oneg. The mitzvah to eat is to give me enjoyment. If I had a really bad dream, so the way I'm going to get my enjoyment is by not eating.
There wasn't a specific mitzvah to eat on Shabbos, the three meals?
There's a mitzvah, it's a good kasha. You're right, right? There's a mitzvah, shalosh shudos, three meals on Shabbos. Apparently, that mitzvah of eating on Shabbos is a mitzvah that is there as a kiyum of the larger mitzvah of oneg. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah of oneg. But if I am the type of person who will only get oneg by fasting, not by eating, so then I fast on Shabbos because I had my bad dream. I have to fast. Right? That's a Gemara in Tainus Daf Yud or something, right? Beferish in the Gemara, nothing to talk about. Yontif, big discussion in Rishonim. Whether you're allowed to fast on Yontif when you have a bad dream. There are two Girsaos in the Maharel. I noticed this after I put the Sorashi together. Two Girsaos in the Maharel as to whether I have a bad dream on Yontif, I fast or not. One version on the Maharil is on Yontif, you never fast, because it's a mitzvah simcha. There's another version of the Maharil, though, that says that the only Yontif I don't fast on when I have a bad dream is Shavuos. Why? Because Shavuos is more of a Yontif. The Chiyuv of Simcha is all the way up there by Shavuos. By every other Yontif, maybe the Chiyuv of Simcha is not the same extent. That's the impression that you get. Right? It's the same Maharil who is... This is what we're saying. So one approach, the earliest source in Minhagim of why we have trees in Shul is because of Simchas Yontif. That's what the Maharil says. In later Sfarim, the Lavush writes and others write, and the Ramah actually has it. Now look at the Ramah. The Ramah is different than the Maharil in 2 points. Zak the Ramah, Nohagin Lishtoach Asavim B'Shavuos B'Beis HaKnesses V'Habatim Zecher l'simchas matan Torah. Right? What are the two differences between the Ramah and the Maharil?
Well, he doesn't say the ritzvah.
He doesn't say it on the floor, right? Okay, that's a third difference. Right? The Maharil says you put it on the floor, the Ramah doesn't. Right?
Zecher
l'simchas matan Torah. According, as opposed to simchas yontiv, right? For the Ramah, it's only about matan Torah. Other differences?
Batim.
Right? According to the Maharil, the minig is in Shul. According to the Ramah, the minig is in the homes. Another one? I said two, but there's going to be like four or five.
He
doesn't say Besamim, he just says Asavim. Now, that's interesting in its own right. You see, there are different midrashim about what exactly happened at Matan Torah. One midrash says, what happened at Matan Torah is a Har Sinai became like a beautiful green mountain. And in order to commemorate that, we have the green grass. There's another that says that at Har Sinai, every word of Torah that came out, like there was a beautiful smell that came together with the Torah. Right? For every word of Torah, there's a beautiful smell. So I could have said besamim is zecher lamatan Torah, no? But the Maharil is saying that the besamim is for the Simchas HaRegel, and the Ramah has the homes and the homes and the shul, as opposed to the Maharil, who has only in shul. These are all the these are the differences that are found in various minhagim. Now, the Magen Avraham is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah in the next source, who has a slightly different minhag. So far we have Besamim, we have Asabim. Magen Avraham Tainas, Nohagin Lahamid Ilanos, Beis HaKnesses, Ubabatim Zecher, Shabbat Seres Nidono Aperos HaIlan. Right? Meaning that I should have fruit trees in my house on Shavuos. Right? In the Shul and at home, have fruit trees. Why? Because on Shavuos we're Nidon on fruits. It's a Yom Hadin. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham. There are other reasons that are given, which are interesting reasons. Here, let me give you one that you'll think is cute. Okay? The Paradis Yosef has the following reason. What day was Moshe Rabbeinu born? What's Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday? Seventh day of Adar, Zion Adar, right? Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was born early. No? He was born early. So they were able to keep him at home and no one suspected the first few months of his life. And then at some point, when they assume that his mother's going to have the baby, so they had to take him and put him in the basket in the river. No? That's 3 months into Moshe Rabbeinu's life that they put him in the basket. So now let's make a quick calculation. Moshe is born on Zion Adar. Adar to Nisan to Iyar. Zion Sivan. Shavuos is when they put Moshe Rabbeinu in the river. The pasuk says, Vatosim Basuf, that they put him in the reeds, no? Like where there are trees in the side, like the marsh area. So in order to commemorate that, we have trees and vegetation and shul. I don't know, that's an interesting idea. Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to Shavuos. It's interesting. Next idea. Should we do one more? Vayelech Reuven bimeik tzir chitim. Vayimsa dudaim basadeh. Right? Reuven went on the day of tzir chitim. The day of tzir chitim is when they harvest the wheat. When do they harvest the wheat? Erev Shavuos, right? Bitchilas, right? They harvest the wheat. Ksir Chitim, the Omer is brought on, right? Pesach, that's from barley. Shtei Halechem is brought from wheat on Shavuos, right? Halo Ksir Chitim Hayom, no? Shavuos is the Yantiv of Ksir Chitim. So Reuven on Erev Shavuos picks these Dudaim. Dudaim are flowers, like fragrant flowers, no? That were also supposed to be good for fertility. Reuven gives them to, right? What?
To his mother.
To his mother, to Leah, right? Eli tavo ki sachar sechartiha bedudae bini. Vayishkav ima balayla hahu. And the child that was born from that is the fifth child, who is Yisachar. Yisachar is a child that represents Torah. Yisachar chamor gorem, right? So Torah is connected. Now, let's just make the cheshbon. Reuven picks these dudaim, these fragrant flowers, Erev Shavuos. So Yaakov Avinu slept with Leah on Shavuos. You're not supposed to sleep with your wife on Yontif. Okay, that's a kasha, the social tikkun Torah. But it's interesting that that's another approach, that the reason why we have this is to commemorate the birth of Yisachar, who is one of the Shvatim that's emblematic of Torah. Okay, so we have a lot of interesting reasons for how this minhag developed. It seems like it's a pretty straightforward minhag. Some suggest that the minhag is based on Bikurim, etc. This is what to talk about. Problem. The Gra was Mevato the Minhag. Right? The Mishnah Berurah quote, Hagra bitel minhag zeh mishum she'achshav l'chol ka'amim lahamid ilanos b'chag shalahem. The Gra got rid of the Minhag, right? Why? What? Because it's a non-Jewish holiday. Which holiday? I'm not allowed to say this in the basement. Which holiday do we think the girl's talking about? Which holiday do they have trees?
Christmas.
Right? Kratzma. Right? Of course. Obviously, right? That's what you said. Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes. You missed
it. There's a minig that we don't say the name because it means Messiah. We believe that Messiah has not yet come. That's like a fundamental idea here. So now, I always thought that was the pshat, where Dashiell Ferguson, Sheyichya, Yomim Tovim Aruchim V'Shalom, pointed out to me that he doesn't think that's the holiday that they're talking about. You see, where is this gra who got rid of the minhag? So there are three sources of this gra that I'm aware of. We'll try to go slowly. The gra is found in the Maisa Rav, which is the book of the Hanhagos of the gra. I have a photocopy of it here. It's found in the Chaya Adam, and it's found in the Chochmas Adam. Ready? Let's learn. Chaya Adam. I don't think I give you these sources just because I'm lazy. Chaya Adam writes that the gra got rid of the minhag to have trees in the shul on Shavuos. Mishum she'achshav hu chok ha'amim lahamer ilanos b'chag shalahem. Shekorin Zolanya Shventa. The holiday of Zolanya Shventa. Anyone have any idea what holiday that is? No idea. Oh, Pingistan. What's Pingistan? Pingistan. Sounds like Pentecost. Ready? That's Pentecost.
That's
Shavuos. What is, so yes. We say Pentecost is Shavuos. There was a pagan tradition that 7 weeks in Lithuania and neighboring countries, this is from a very reputable source, it's found in Wikipedia even, okay, so this is like, can see nothing be seen, right? But in Lithuania and neighboring countries, the traditions of Pentecost are related to the end of the sowing and the start of the summer labors. The most distinctive feature of Pentecost is nature worship. Basically, what they did is Pentecost, which is after Easter, okay? On the eve of Pentecost, village girls dispersed in fields and woods in search of flowers and greenery that were used to make wreaths. So there is a minhag among the pagans that they go out on Pentecost, which is around the time of Shavuos, no? And they go out and they collect flowers to make wreaths. Says the Gra, oh boy, we can't do that anymore. Now it's Chukos Akum. The Goyim are doing it. Pagan practice. We can't do it. So apparently the answer is yes, right? And well, that's going to be like the real Torah part of this. Yes. What?
Is the Gra consistent with that? Another.
Yes. In fact, I'll show you a Bir Hagra in a few minutes. I have a Bir Hagra on this sheet. So it's probably based on Pentecost, which is not based on Kratzmach. And that's why the Gra was opposed to the practice, because this is a pagan practice of Pentecost. Now, a few things that are worth noting. Our practice is to put the trees in the house or in the shul. Their practice is to put the trees outside, apparently. That's, you can read it over here. They would put the trees outside, no? So our practice is done slightly different than theirs. Is that a violation of Chukos Akum if we do something very similar to them but not exactly the same? So the Gra apparently felt yes, and the Rama felt no. The Rama says, Sids, what we're doing is inside the house. It's a little bit different than them, so it's not going to be a violation of Chukos Akum. So one mahalach over here is, that's a dispute between the Rama and the Gra. Now, when in my youth, I thought of a different mahalach, until Dashiell Ferguson corrected me, I thought that the issue over here was about Kratzmach, right? Which is a holiday that you mentioned by a certain unmentionable name. But I thought that was that the practice is based on Kratzmach, and I thought that maybe there is no real machlokas Rama and Gra. You see, when did trees on the holiday that falls on December 25th become part of the holiday? Anyone know?
See, Nick and
So when were the trees developed?
Huh? According to this sheet, I was wrong, but I always heard that it was like established when like Christianity was being introduced to Rome, and they kind of sort of wanted to ease people into Christianity, so they adopted some pagan customs from the Romans.
Okay. So there was a pagan. So according to Wikipedia, right? Again, only the most scholarly of sources here. Right. This is so the tradition of a tree, as it's known today, is fairly young. It was established by Martin Luther as a Protestant counterpart to the Catholic Nativity scene. Luther established the tree as a symbol of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden.
What year is that?
What? So what year was Martin Luther? Who are the history majors? Luther died in 1546.
Pretty close.
1546. What year did Rameau die?
Around there.
Rameau died in 1572. Okay. Luther lived in Germany. Rameau lived in Poland. It's very possible, and some of them refer to him on the side of the Maaseh Rav. They quote from a Sefer Likutim, who says an idea along these lines, although without getting into this whole Martin Luther bit. But it's very possible that the Rama assumes that you're allowed to have trees in Shul. Why? Because the Rama didn't know that it was a non-Jewish practice. Because the tree didn't make it to
Poland
when the Rama was alive. Remember, 30 years is not that long of a time. And in terms of the dispersion of...
So they were Catholic in Poland, weren't they?
They were Catholics in Poland, not Protestants. Ken Zion, the Rama, had no idea about this practice. And therefore the Rama says, you know what? It's mutter, right? We have all these reasons for the minhag. It's mutter, it's mutter, it's mutter. He didn't realize it's chukas hakam. Aber the Gra, who lived 1720 to 1797... Right? The Gra already knows that the trees are a pagan, goyish concept, no? So the Gra says, don't do it.
But the Rama didn't introduce it.
The Rama didn't introduce the minig. He introduced way before the Rama by the Maharil.
Right.
The Gra saying, don't do the minig anymore, because the Gra knows that now it's a chukasakum. Right, it's Kufa the Ramah, he didn't know it was a Chukasakum, according to the suggestion. So that's already another suggestion. Again, I don't think it's true anymore, because I think it's more likely that the tree that they're discussing is Pentecost trees, not Kratzmach trees. But especially because the Chaya Adam talks about Pentecost. He doesn't talk about Kratzmach, no? Kratzmach is called Nittol in Yiddish. He speaks about Pingesten, which I think is Pentecost. Fine. So far, so good? So what is the real explanation over here? So the real explanation might be as follows. This might have to depend on the... There's a huge machlokes harishonim about the nature of the Isser of Chukasakum that might be relevant for the trees. Let's explain. Source of the din of Chukasakum here. Let's go. Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Mishnah in Sanhedrin. We'll come back to the Rama and the Gra. We'll go a little bit out of order. Mishnah in Sanhedrin writes that there is Dal and Misos. One of the Misos is called Hereg. How do you do Hereg? Mitzvah Sanhedrin, how you matiz and social Besayah, Kederech, Shamachos also. The way that you do Hereg is you lop off the guy's head with a sword. The same way as the Malchus does it. Rabbi Yehuda says, Nivol hulo. Right, that's a little bit disgusting. Right? I don't know about you, but if your head gets cut off with the sword, it like goes all over the place and it's like yucky. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you lop up the guy's head with the sword, that's going to be a nivol. It's going to be disgusting. And the halacha is, the way you love someone is that you kill them in a nice, humane way. Right, that's Beferish and the Pasuk. So Rabbi Yehuda says...
That's pretty messy.
So we do everything in as least messy way as possible. We only push him off... Beis Haskeho Gavoha Shtei Komos. No, it's only twice your height. It was not so messy, not so disgusting. I mean, it's not like they're pushing you off a huge cliff and like you're falling apart and...
But they get stoned.
Huh? They throw a stone on you. If you don't die from being pushed off, they'll throw a stone on you. One stone. Very humane. So, Rabbi Yehuda Taina's Nivol Hula. Rabbi Yehuda says he can't use the, what's it called? Can't use a sword because that is disgusting. Ela manichan es rosho ahastan v'kotzit bekupetz. But you put the guy's head on, what's a stan? It's like a base where they put your head. Like a wood. It's not exact. I don't think guillotine was invented yet. It's like a block.
Right.
You put your head on the block and kotzeitz bekupetz, and then you chop it off in a more humane way using a hatchet, Rabbi Yehuda says. That's much more... Imagine Slobodan Milosevic or somebody. Right? So, Amrulau, ein mizem nuvelos mizu. That's the most grotesque sort of way. Right? That's the discussion, the Mishnah, interesting discussion. Tanya. Amrulai Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim. I know that by chopping off the head with a hatchet, of course it's misa menuvelas. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? I know it's menuvelas to use a hatchet, but I can't use a sword because the pasuk says b'chukoseim lo seleichu. Don't do stuff the way the goyim does it, and the goyim do it with the sword, so I can't do it with the sword. So the chachamim say, no, kevan d'chsiv, saif boi raisa, lo minayhu kogaminon. Right? We're not learning it off from then. We're learning it from the fact that it says saif in the Torah. The Torah says use a sword. So if we're not learning it from then. Dilotem ahachi, hadetan, sarfan amlochim, adakya amori. The Mishnah says that when the king dies, you burn all of his stuff. Don't do it the way the goyim do it. Heches afinon haksev ubchukosim lo seleichu. El kevin dechsev sreifa bo iraisa dechsev masreifas avosecha v'gomer la minay kugamino. How can I kevin dechsev saif bo iraisa la minay kugamino? So the Gemara basically says that the heter to use a sword is, since the pasuk says it's mutter. No. Now, does this really work? Does this work because the pasuk says it's permitted? Therefore, it's permitted. Frek Tosis Akasha, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in the parallel sugya, says that even though it says in the Torah, there's no heter. Right? Even though the Torah says, Masrifos Avosecha Hamlochem, the way your father, the kings, were burned, you should also be burned, but that itself is not matir. The only reason why we're Sorfana Hamlochem, the only reason why when the king dies, we burn his stuff, the heter, how come it's not darkei ha'emori to burn the king's stuff, is because it's not an avodah zarah practice. That's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says. So Tosfos is bothered by Akasha, that there seems to be a contradiction in the sugya. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the reason why it's mutter is because it's written in the Torah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that the reason why it's mutter is because it's not an avodah zarah type of issue.
What do you say in the Torah you can burn the clothes?
The pasuk says, "B'masreifos avosecha hamlochem," that you're going to die, and the way your father, the king's stuff, was burned, your stuff is also going to be burned. So, right? Now, Tosis has this kasha, and Tosis uses this kasha to teach us a very interesting thing, that there are two different dinim of darkei ha'emori. No? The stapler... he tries to say that one din is called Darkei Amori, the other din is called B'chukosim Lo Seleichu. But one din of Darkei Amori is those practices that are genuine pagan practices that stem from Avodah Zarah. Those practices that have real pagan Avodah Zarah origins are Aser, even if it says it in the Chumash. The only time a Mekal on a practice because it has origins in the Chumash is if it's not an Avodah Zarah practice, but it's a stupid Goyisha practice. That's the way Tosa says it. It's a minig shtus, no? That's very interesting. Alright, that's the way the Ramos says it. We'll see in a minute. Basically, Tosa is saying that if it's a practice that comes from Avodah Zarah, so there's no heter. There's no heter just because it's written in the Chumash. But if It's a practice that doesn't come from Avodah Zarah, so there is going to be a heter. That's what Taisa says.
Heter if it is in the Chumash.
Then there's heter if it is in Chumash. So far, so good?
So the two sugyas still contradicting, or now you can resolve?
So the two sugyas are talking about two different types of chukas akum. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is talking about chukas akum, does it come from Avodah Zarah or not? The Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about chukas akum of a stupid goyish practice, but doesn't have a source in Avodah Zarah. Since it's a stupid practice, so if I could be mako based on the pasuk tree.
So which one would the kratzmach tree qualify as?
Okay.
It's not really Avodah Zarah, right?
It's not really Avodah Zarah. We'll have to discuss in a few minutes. Did it have origins in Avodah Zarah? Was it something...
Ironically, it looks like it was Davka created to avoid Avodah Zarah.
To avoid Avodah Zarah, right? It's at least according to the Goyin Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So we'll have to discuss this. Now, the way Tosus says it, that there are two different dinim of Darkei HaEmori, is argued upon by the Ran in Avodah Zarah. The Ran writes that burning stuff when the king dies is not Darkei HaEmori. Lefi shelo asr Torah l'chuka shel Avodah Zarah, elu devarim shel hevel ubatola, v'kulan yesh ben sorech Avodah Zarah, aval devarim shel tam is mutar. And burning stuff when the king dies is a davar shel tam to show that no one else could fill the king's place. Meaning, the Ran is saying that there's only one category of Darkei HaEmori. A stupid thing that the goyim do. We presume, why do you think they do stupid stuff? It's mistum avodah zarah. We assume that it's avodah zarah. That's what the Ran is saying. Nitvi taisus. Taisus is saying that stupid stuff is a different category. And they have a kula if it's stupid, because it's written in the Torah. The Ran, I'm not exactly sure how the Ran will answer Tosfos' kasha, but the Ran is saying that a stupid practice we presume is an Avodah Zarah practice.
Maybe one's more common than the other, according to the
Ran. Maybe. It could be. Maybe one is Daraisa, one is Darabon, but you get an impression from the Ran that they're both the same. That the issue with... get the impression from the Ran that the problem with stupid practices is that it's presumed to be an Avodah Zarah practice. So you're saying maybe if it's only a presumption, it's not a Din D'oraisa, it's a Din D'rabbanan, maybe we could be make on that for other reasons. Perhaps, I don't know.
Does Chulas HaGoyim apply if there is no chance of confusion? In other words, suppose there is a custom that these Avodah Zarah have in December to have a tree.
And I'm doing it differently than them.
It's right on the floor. It's not a big tree in the...
So again, so that was the discussion that we tried to hint at before. Right. It could be that Chukas Akum is only if it's exactly the same as the way they do it. And therefore, if their trees are outside and our trees are inside, maybe it's not Chukas Akum according to the Ramah. That was our suggestion.
They seem to have just on their face... they seem to have, like, they are both trees, but short of
they're
that...
they're both trees at the same time of the year.
Not the same time.
Well, if it's Pentecost, it's the same time of year.
Right.
Right, but if it, right, if it's December and Kratzmach, then it's not the same time of the year. Correct. Now, Ramah Paskins, interestingly. Ready? Look at this Ramah in Yerideya. The Shiloh that the Maharik deals with and the Rishonim deal with is... are you allowed to go to graduations and wear the robes? Or am I allowed to be a doctor and wear white robes? Because apparently those white robes were vestments that the church would give.
Doctors?
What?
I thought it was like a hygiene thing.
Yeah, the white coat, I thought it was hygiene.
So apparently not.
Scrubs are blue, right? Or any color.
Don't know. So the Ramah writes... it says in Shulchan Aruch that you ain't holchem b'chukas ha'akum. You can't do gaisha stuff. Velo yobash malbash hamiyuchad lahem. Velo yigadot tzitzis roshom kamo tzitzis roshom. Your hair should look like their hair. Remember, there was a special type of Roman haircut. It looked like, you know, Ralph Cramden and the Water Buffalo Lodge. Woo! You know, I don't have any of them. You never watched The Honeymooners?
No.
You are mamish. My favorite, a Philistine. Terrible. Okay? V'lo yigalech me'at studin, you shouldn't cut the side of your hairs and leave. Remember Mr. T?
Yeah.
Right? So like a mohawk. Right? That's usher. No? A mohawk is usher. Why? It is chukasakam. No? Chukasakam. Rama writes, Ella, yehei muvdal mehem b'mabusha v'bishar ma'isav. Now, that's an interesting line. That line comes from the Rambam. The Rambam says that the reasoning for Chukas Akum is because Jews are supposed to look different. Many Rishonim don't go as far as the Rambam. The Rambam holds that there's a chiyuv to be different than Goyim. Most Rishonim assume that it's not that there's a chiyuv to be different, but I can't imitate what they do. Not that I have an active chiyuv to try to identify myself as being different. Okay. But the Ramon and Ed, because Eino Asa Abadav Shinahago Baha Ovde Kochavim Mushum Pritus, Kigon Shinahago Lobosh Mabushim Adumim, Vuhu Mabush Sarim, Ukidomalazer, Mimabushi HaPritus. This is only true if the Goyim are doing something for Pritus, like wearing red, no? Red. Now you have to remember, in ancient times and medieval times, they didn't have the same ability to make collars that we have. No? And they also couldn't do laundry the same. So red was like the only real collar. Red really stuck out. So he says, wearing red clothing is a problem. Or it's forbidden if it's a davar shenahagu l'minhagu l'chok ve'ein tam b'davar. Dik lo mechash bei v'shendake amori. V'shish bo shem etzavodazam me'avosehem. Right? The only prohibition is if it's something that they do for pritzos, or it's something that they do for no reason. Chok. Chukas akum. A chok means no reason. Aval. Dover shenahago leto elas. Kigon. Shendarkon. Shekom yishu rofei mumcha. Yesho malbush miyuchad shenikar boshu rofei uman. Right? That's what we're talking about. If you're a doctor, you wear special doctor's clothing. No? Mutul lavshom. Whatever I do for kavod, for a good reason, it's mutter. Meaning the Ramah is saying a big cool on Chukas Akum. Whatever is done for a good reason is permitted. So according to the Ramah, certainly, since we began the shir tonight by giving lots of reasons why you have trees in the shul on Shavuos, we're doing it for a reason, mutter. No? That's what the Ramah would say, correct?
Well, doesn't that make the whole...
Chukas Akum is only on silly stuff that don't really have a reason.
No, but it's redundant then, because presumably, if it comes from Avodah Zara, if it comes from some kind of improper...
If it's something that... So I think what the pshat is like this. If there's a good reason why the Goyim do it, and why we do it, so then we don't have to assume it comes from Avodah Zara, because they came with this practice for a good reason. But if it's a stupid practice that has no reason, so then we assume it came from Avodah Zara. Right? That's probably the percent
remember. If it came from Avodah Zara, then why do I need a separate halacha of Chukas Akum?
That's the halacha. Chukas Akum means not only should I not worship Avodah Zara, but I shouldn't do any activity that Oiv de Avodah Zara do. Right? Let's go on.
If the tree is done for Avodah Zara purposes, then that can help me have a good reason now.
If they do it for Avodah Zara purposes, mamash, of course I can't do it. Right? But if they do it not for Avodah Zara purposes, but they do it for a good reason, so just like the Goyim have a good reason, I could do it for their good reason also. Right? And that is what the Ramah says about the gowns that the doctors wear. And I would contend, that's why according to the Ramah, having trees and shows permitted, because there are good reasons for it.
What if it once had good reasons? Or... vice versa, what if it once had a Bodhisattva reasons, but now has no... Now
if they're doing it for a good reason, it's permitted. If they used to do it for a good reason, now it's a stupid Bodhisattva practice, and the reason was bottled, so I don't think it's permitted anymore.
The tree doesn't have a good reason from their perspective. It came from something else.
From their perspective...
But
from our perspective, it has a good reason.
Like
so therefore, before. I'm allowed to have a tree, because when I see the tree, I remember Maimed Har Sinai, etc. Good reasons, legitimate reasons, that's why it's mutter.
But the origin of darkness clothes is for medical reasons, not for pagan reasons, but the origin of the trees is for pagan reasons.
The origin of the doctor's clothes is for pagan reasons also. If the origin is not from Avodah Zarah, it could be Teter Gomer. The origin is from Avodah Zarah, it could still be Mutter if now I'm doing it for a reason. Because it's not Chukol Sakom. Chuk is reasonless. So far so good?
To me, it's a
reason. Gra argues on the Rama. Gra basically argues on Judaism here. Kvar katavti, shedivei haran temuhin. Okay? The Ran is Shver. Right? We saw the Ran already. V'gam divei maharik, who says that it's mutter to wear a doctor coat, ain therein. Maharik is wrong. Why? That Gemara in Sanhedrin that we encountered on Daf Nun Beis, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda says, right, that Saif is b'chukol sein oteleichu. So frek the Gra, one second. Saif taima ikka. Why do they use swords to kill people? There's a question to ask my son. But why do they use a sword to kill people? You know why? Because it does a good job. According to the Ramah, quoting the Maharik, if there's a good reason to do something, that's nachukasakum. Frek the Gra, there's a good reason to use a sword. It does a good job. So it shouldn't be chukasakum.
It should be.
Right? It should not be. The Gra is saying, the Ramah said, the Gemara, remember, says that sword should be chukasakum, but it's mutter because I have a pasuk. Right? Frek the Gra, if Ramah is correct, if Maharik is correct, that by definition, whatever I do for a good reason is not chukasakum, so the sword is done for a good reason, no? I use a sword because, by the power of Grayskull, right? That's why I use a sword. Oh gosh, this goes back a long time, right? That's the reality.
The sword is good at chopping heads off.
Is that a good
reason? Is that the goal? That seems not to be the goal.
But the fact that it's good at what it does...
It's not arbitrary, aggressive.
It's not art, right? The Iser Chukas Hakum is a chayk. Arbitrary.
Right.
No reason. When there is a reason, it's not a chuk. And the Gemara writes, and even though I gave dochik explanations, ledina lo nira li. And, right, lahalacha, he says, I argue. Meaning to say, and he says that sarfan lahamalacham also is a good reason, and yet the Gemara assumes it should be chukasakam. Meaning, the Gemara is assuming lahalacha an amazing thing. The Gemara is saying, if you have a goyisha practice, a practice that originates in Avodah Zarah, no? A goyish practice that originates in Avodah Zarah, says the Gra, this practice is going to be usher to do. Even if there's a good reason, it still is chukasakum. That's what the Gra says, no? It seems, therefore, that the Gra is consistent with his shita in Shulchan Aruch, and the Gra says, don't have the trees in Shul. You know why not? There's a good reason, Avada, there's a good reason. Still Aser. Because the Gra holds, even though there's a good reason, it still is going to be Aser.
Because
by definition, any practice that originated with pagans, even if it's a, there's a logical reason why they did it, but if the origin is pagan, does haste chukasakum.
So you say the Gra holds like the Rambam.
He holds like the Rambam that there's an independent mitzvah of distinguishing us from the Goyim. Right?
It seems strange to defer our own practices. Meaning, it's weird to say that what we do in our shul is determined by any akum has the power to change.
The Gemara writes that Matseva used to be Ahuv Bimeha Avos, right? They would make a Mizbeach with one stone, but once the Avodah Zarah started doing it, we can't do it anymore. We can change with the times. There's evolution in Judaism.
After the Beis HaMikdash.
After the Beis HaMikdash, I can't build a Bama, right? But a Matseva, in other words, what type... During Shas Heter Bamos, let's say.
Oh, so right? You said I couldn't
I need a Mizbeach, which means many stones put together. I can't do a Matseva.
Because of Avodah Zarah?
Because the Avodah Zarah started it, yeah. Lo takim lecha Matseva, asher sanei Hashem alokecha. Rashi writes in that pasuk. Right, what that means is don't have one stone mizbeach. So basically what we try to suggest that the machlokas between the Gra and the Ramah about the trees in Shul on Shavuos really relates to our understanding of this Isra Chukasakam. According to the Gra, even though there's a good reason, still it's going to be Asr. Now, of course, this Isra is only true if the origin of the practice is pagan, no? Rabbi Bleich pointed out to me, many assume that this machlokes in the Gra and the Rama about Chukasakam is relevant to whether it's permitted to observe Thanksgiving. Because Thanksgiving is, there's a good reason for having the holiday. We're supposed to be thankful.
Is there any Avodah Zarah aspect of Thanksgiving?
No.
So, but
even there's no Avodah Zarah aspect in the practice. If the origin was Avodah Zarah, So that's the question. So probably not. The answer probably is that Thanksgiving was, the origin was the Puritans.
Yeah.
And the Puritans were Unitarian Christians. Which certainly is not Avodah Zarah, no?
I thought they were Anglican. Or they were like a persecuted group within the Anglican.
Why were they persecuted? If I'm not mistaken, they were persecuted because they rejected the Trinity, which makes them better from our purposes.
Right. No? Was the Trinity, that's a problem? I thought it was the
icons.
There are two aspects.
So the icons, since the 9th century, you ask any Catholic, they don't worship the icons.
Okay. So that's not a problem.
Icons are not a problem. There are two problems with Christian faith. I'm going to be speaking about this in Chivalis, where I am. One problem is the Trinity, the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
Right.
One God. Anything short of absent monotheism might be Avodah Zarah, perhaps, or just Kfira, but it's bad, certainly. Another problem is the incarnation. The incarnation is probably a bigger problem. The fact that they believe that God took on a physical form is against the entire notion of God that Jews believe. We believe in a God that has no incorporeal, right? A God that has no body. Right? That's the definition of...
They're not worship. They might hold that the once upon a time God took human form, but they're not worshiping
They're not worshiping a human form. They're worshiping an idea of a God that has a
theology.
Right. So that is probably why we assume that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. But you have to listen to some Maishi or online about Christianity where I flesh this out more. So the reality is, I think this machlokes between the Gra and the Rama is based on this. I just have two other quick ha'aras. The Gra and the Chochmas Adam also quotes that the Gra got rid of the practices of the trees and shul. And he just writes, because that's the minig b'chag shalahem on their yontiv. He doesn't tell me Pentecost, so maybe from the Chochmas Adam he's talking about Kratzmach, I don't know. The Maisa Rav, interestingly, the Maaser Rav is a sefer of the Minhagim of the Gra. The Maaser Rav, in many versions of the Maaser Rav, this does not exist. It was taken up by censors. But the Maaser Rav in the newer editions reprinted what came out in the Tuf Kuf Tzadi Beis version of the Maaser Rav, whatever that is. But the Maaser Rav says that the Gra did not have the trees on Shavuos. And he writes as follows. This is the lashon of the Maaser Rav. Kimei acha she'enu ala minhag v'lo midina, ach shav chok la'akam hu nachon levatel. Since it is not me'ikar hadin, it's only a minhag, it's not midina, and now it's chok la'akam, that's why we should be mevatel it. The impression that you get from the Gra in Maaser Rav is if it would be a requirement me'ikar hadin, he would be megal. Now that is a very big chiddush, because the Gemara only says I could be make of something is found in Chumash, but according to the simple reading of this Gra Maaser Rav, he'd be make on anything that is Me'ikar Hadin. I don't know how that squares with the issue of Matseva, that Rashi and Chumash that we mentioned earlier. Okay, so these are some of the issues. I always thank you for coming and learning, and Yashikoach, and you should have a good Yontiv, and a good Shabbos, and have trees and shul. Why not? Okay. Oh, some point, Rabbi Yosef points out, in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to have trees in Shul for sure, because the goyim around are Muslims, not Christians, and the Muslims never have this practice. That's a very interesting chiddush, because l'chora has nothing to do with the goyim around me.
Does it?
Huh? I mean, if the practice developed...
What does that mean anyway?
What?
They're not the majority, but
there are Christians around also. Yeah, I don't know, but that's what they quote from Rabbi Yosef. Some also point out that the question is, the Ramah writes that the minhag is that you have grasses on Shavuos, and the Magen Avraham spoke about the minhag of trees. Was the gross opposition only to trees, or was it even to the grasses? So that's also something to think about. It's a machlokas haposkim within the gra, but thank you for coming and listening. Yes,
Yashikar. Going back to the whole idea of commemorating Moshe Rabbeinu and his earthquakes in the Sullivan.
Well, whose idea was that?
What does the Torah say about what his basket was made out of? Does it use those in the Sullivan also?
It says that there was like tar on the outside of the basket.
And how it was actually.
Yeah. That idea, by the way, comes in the Sefer Paradis Yosef in the name of the Reb Mordechai Benet.
Was it
a reed basket? Okay.
No, could that also be,
so commemorating the reed?
The basket itself.
Maybe. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah.